all right, get up, let's do this again. So I started moving, and then that's when I started thinking about when was the last time you felt like yourself? And it was comedy.
Wow.
It was comedy. And then so the following Thursday, I hadn't been coming to the Brainwash in, I would say, like a year or year and a half. And I'm pretty sure Tony doesn't remember. I know it's because there's so many people. But like Tony came, he was like walking past me, and I was sitting on the couch. And I get up and I shake Tony's hand. Tony, my name's Anthony, and I'm back. And that's all I said.
Yeah, right?
I didn't say, like, he kind of looked at me like, okay, well, what the hell does that mean? But that was the turning point.
Sure.
That was the turning point. And it was like, now looking back at that, I was like, whoa. You didn't know what the fuck you were doing, but you didn't know, but who cares?
Right. But then you, you know, decided what you wanted to do, spent the right amount. You invested a lot of time.
Yeah, time, money, time, energy.
Yeah, all of it.
Everything. Because right when the Grotto was about to start, I just knew I was going to be spending a lot of expense. And that's when I really started the whole True Hustle entertainment side. And then, sure enough, when I make a lot of money today, or like from jobs and stuff, besides rent and like other, like it pretty much goes right back into comedy.
Sure.
And you know, more sound equipment, you know, more lighting, whatever it
takes
to put on the show and make it look more professional.
Yeah.
And so it's weird. It's like a tidal wave. And like, but now you're like, before you felt like you're just being tossed around, not knowing which way the waters go, and now you can not only feel the rifts, but even move them to your own approval.
Sure.
So it's like, be water.
Yeah. You can move anywhere. You can be in any circle or sphere.
Yeah, I love
it moves
that.
On its own.
It helps me with a lot of the chaos that goes on.
So much chaos.
Yeah.
Well, and it's hard because we're dealing, comedy is just all about, we have all these egos and everybody thinks, hard. It can be emotionally difficult to navigate the ocean of comedy just because, I mean, I have trouble with reality in my own life anyway. Like, oh, I can create my own reality. But then the trouble for me becomes your reality has to touch real reality all the time. And like when you become out of touch with your reality is when things start getting wonky. Like when you think that your reality is one way and other people are like, Anyways, I always have trouble like navigating that sort of, I don't know, my place in the sphere, and then I get too involved with it and it's like, you know, shut the fuck up. Nobody's thinking about you. Don't worry about it. Like, sometimes I overanalyze things in a stupid way and I'm like, it's just being dumb because nobody's thinking about what I'm thinking about. I'm just perseverating in my own mind. So it's kind of a lot of it's about getting over myself.
Yeah.
Being like, ugh, like, please.
I feel you. Right
and it's
there.
it's just comedy. Like when it comes down to it, like it's not brain surgery. We're not necessarily. I mean, we could be saving lives. There might be a lot of depressed comedians that might have committed suicide.
We are definitely saving lives.
We might be saving lives.
Yeah.
It's not like a, you know, rocket science-y way, but kind of. Yeah.
From
like
a psychological
esoteric
perspective, it's. Yeah. It's a lot.
It's healing, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, especially with all, yeah, like, the egos was the big thing. We're just, like, if not someone else's, our own, you know, and it's just, like, I was feeling you right there with the whole, yeah, like, sometimes you want people to respond a certain way, and they don't, and you're just, like, what is, and then that's when I have to check myself and be like, you realize how much shit is going on?
Sure.
You know, like, it, not just within your world, but in so many worlds, and now we just have this one environment where all these worlds collect.
Sure.
So it's like its own, like, fucking, the Brainwash is like its own solar system.
Absolutely.
So it's just like you have all these crazy-ass planets colliding all the time.
And there's always, I mean, the audience lets you know, although there was one night where I was on one of the showcases and the audience was just being hard. They just didn't like anybody. It was like everyone was working and I worked so hard and they just weren't into it. And I got off stage and I was like, geez, I worked hard for that. And everybody's sets, they were all kind of like, they didn't give a fuck about who was on stage or what was going on. They were just a different audience. So I never try to blame the audience, but the audience usually tells you if they want to connect with you or not.
Absolutely.
And right now with everything that's going on in the world, like people are trying to connect, they're trying to disconnect. Who knows? Like why people go to the Brainwash?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting little area. Like, especially like, amongst the comedians and crackheads.
Right, exactly. And, you know, well, what a cross section.
Yeah.
We were talking today, we were trying to like figure out how, if we could make an example of what happened with the Louis C.K. masturbation thing, if we could put it on our own scale. And I said, what it would be is if a comedian that we knew went into the brainwash and started jacking off in the bathroom but didn't lock the door. And someone went boop, 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 boop and walked in and saw them jacking off. And then somehow they had someone else to close the door so you couldn't leave. And then you had to watch. Like, that was the only way we could possibly conceptualize...
Yeah,
like
that's,
dealing with,
like, how, who knows how this shit happens around and stuff, because like that is one thing that is just like it's such a hot topic right now,
right? Yeah,
you know, and it's just like, yeah, it's coming to light, and it's just like, but that's karma too.
Yeah, but I wouldn't really, I mean, I wouldn't really care. Like, let's say there was a comedian, I don't want to say anybody because I don't want to like slander them in any way, but let's say comedian X, you know, is in the bathroom jacking off, they don't lock the door, I walk in, I'm gonna close the door, walk out, get on stage and be like, so-and-so's jacking off on the, you know, and like make fun of it. I'm not gonna freak out about it and be like, I feel violated because they tricked me into seeing their penis. I'm gonna be like, but it's only because they don't have any power over me. All the comedians were all the same. So if it was like,
no, it's a 70s show. I'm familiar with it. It is before my time, but I know the show.
Yeah, so James at 16 was 1978, in which I was like 12. I definitely was a regular watcher of that show. It was like a first time, you know, something serial, you know. It was interesting. This guy was on it. That's how we started.
Huh.
He was on Night Shift. You know that movie, Henry Winkler?
Oh, of course. That's, oh, look, there's a hot dog between her boobies.
And yeah, they're just doing another... Gag.
See, this is the thing. Like, people say, like, oh, when it comes to bad movies, we can't movie riff comedies or because they're already bad. But I love bad comedies. Only in this world does this exist, right? In real life,
yes.
Remember the time this woman came and she had a hot dog between her tits and you had to like pull it out in front of all these leering guys? Uh-oh, here's the vidiot. This music is so generic.
Oh, you know his name, the vidiot?
Yeah,
that's
hilarious.
Right.
This performance is the best. This is the most fearless
performance.
Now, as
you said before, this
seen.
Is John Grise. And in Napoleon Dynamite, he was Uncle Rico.
Yeah, right. And he does something completely different than Uncle Rico. Look at him, he's fucking...
But, like, he's always been in movies and we just didn't know it.
Right.
He was in Men in Black as the van driver who was, like, disgusting bugs. He was in The Rundown as one of the hoods.
The Rundown.
He was in all of the Taken movies. He's been under our nose.
Yeah, well, I think he kind of had a 70s presence, right? Like, he did a...
He kind of had what?
I get him and another actor mixed up, but there's... I get him... Well, there's James LaGrosse, right?
I don't know, actually. Right.
Here he is.
Take your position! Start game!
THT hashtag True Hustle Thursday. So much 90s metal. So much
Nick Biscuit in this motherfucker. Are you? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation X. I'm fucking with you. It's fucking Anthony Medina here. I don't know if you remember D-Generation X, WWF, the 90s. No? Oh, shit. They used to have this one thing that said, "You suck it," and shit. Yeah. Everyone, yeah, they had a bunch of little kids going, "Suck it," and shit. Yeah. And then, sure enough, we have this shit that's going on now. That shit is fucking hilarious and stuff. I feel like if you actually saw politicians as WWF wrestlers, it'd make a lot more sense, y'all. All right? All these motherfuckers are just trying to suplex each other into that power position, and then they're all going to fuck each other. But luckily, we're here at Mutiny Radio, y'all. We are going to be telling the truth to all the renegades out there. All you motherfuckers that thinking that it's all over and stuff. Depending on what you're thinking, but it'll also be good, y'all. So we're here at Mutiny, which, by the way, hey, make some noise for Mutiny Radio, y'all. Let's give it up for Mutiny Radio. Woo! Pa, 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 pa. If anything, I'm going to use the tactics of the Native Americans, how they used to just run around creating a bunch of chaos, thinking there's a shitload of people here. Because, yeah, that's what they do. Like, blah, 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 go crazy. Ah! Hey, even like when there's still at Latino parties and like fucking Native, like I still notice like people like they'll just be like, "Hey!" And I'm like, "Motherfucker, it's two of you. Chill the fuck out, right? Y'all are sharing an 18 pack of Tecate. This is horrible. What are you doing with your lives right now, y'all? All right, Dad, what are you doing?" Yeah, he used to like, cause also too, like my dad is a carpenter and he's also like mechanic and shit. He does a lot. He's fucking that Mexican, you know? And like he'd always have like the yard where all the guys would come over and they just drink beer around the car thinking like how they're gonna fix this car. And I was like, like if anything, y'all ever see King of the Hill? King of the Hill, we're like, they're hanging out back and shit, going, "Yep, yep." That was like my dad and his friends growing up. I was just like, "What the fuck?" There was even a character in King of the Hill that looked like my dad. I was like, did Mike Judge fucking come over to South Central and rip us all off? But one thing I do know that is not true is that I love charcoal. All right, fuck that propane shit. All right, that's what I'm talking about. I grew up with charcoal. Lots of barbecues every Sunday, y'all. Yeah, we used to be the Mexican family that barbecue every Sunday, and then we play croquet as well, y'all. And but we had like the urban rules because there was a sidewalk in the middle, so you have to like call your shot if you're gonna pop it over. But instead, it just lands in the fucking dinner table, and everyone's pissed off at you because you ruined the carne asada. All right. But that's like crazy. Like I just recovering from hernias, y'all. So like, I got legally shanked by a robot. All right, a fucking robot did the surgery. So I was like, what the fuck? Like that's where we're at now, y'all. If anything, like once they start to drug you up, you have to sign contracts. It's kind of funny. You have to be under the influence to sign these contracts. That tells you how fucked up the medical system is. Because, like, we know you won't sign it while you're sober. But, like, there was at one point, like, see, that's the medical industry coming after me. Like Big Pharma's going to throw a fucking giant pill at me. Like, oh, motherfucker. It's like it hits my face and more pills pop out. Riddling up in this motherfucker. But if anything, though, like, it's like, I took like a Adderall a couple times for some tests, and I was just like, this ain't shit ain't worth it. I'm just gonna do regular cocaine. All right. it's like, if anything, though, it's trippy, like, when you're going through the college life, because I went at an awkward stage when it was like early 2000s. So it's like the 90s had just finished. So fucking Melrose Place was off air. But like 2000s, the Marvel movies were about to come in, because now we got special effects. Because remember, like back in the day, the only special effects was fucking Jurassic Park. Remember, you saw that fucking dinosaur, and you're like, "Whoa, this shit's for real!" And then another classic moment was a Toy Story. Y'all ever see Toy Story? Like in theaters, my mom was like, "Mijo, are they real?" Like I was like, "Whoa, this shit's crazy and stuff." Yeah, and then, that's what it's interesting how we can fucking create anything, but yet we always fucking throw like our mentality into like we are nothing. Like motherfuckers, like we believe that we can change a channel with a box, but we don't believe that we could change a channel within our own frequency. Huh? Like you could turn your own knobs, y'all. Just fucking touch your nipples and rub them in a very exotic way. See, there you go. The people would be popping right shit like that. Oh, it's okay, Larry. It's okay, baby. It's okay. It's okay. You got a little PTSD going on there. It's all good, baby. We're gonna be okay, man. If anything, that's what acid's good for, you know. you know, getting past yourself. We're like, oh, what the fuck is egos going on? Especially like this comedy scene has so many egos. That's for damn sure. That's why a lot of these motherfuckers could be here tonight, because they're motherfuckers probably thinking, there's no fucking way I'm paying $2. When in reality, they just want to say, I don't have $2. Like, I'm fucking eating breadcrumbs up here and shit. But if anything, though, that makes let you know to be self-sufficient, y'all. Grow your own oranges, all right? Goddamn right, y'all. If anything, this was my sixth year of harvesting. I did like 6 plants this year, and I was like, yeah, I'm very happy. Because like, especially from like the, since I can't give birth to a child, this is the closest I get to like giving life type of thing. So I was like, hey, you know, just fucking play with them. They love Stevie Wonder, y'all. So if you're ever out there growing that shit, play some Stevie Wonder, all right? They fucking good. You can see the leaves all bouncing and shit. I'm like, goddamn, hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about. If anything though, too, like I just finished up the wall on my room. So, because like I had it like drywalled for a while, now I painted it. I was like, God damn it! Like last year I built a wall, this year I painted it. I gotta fucking pick it up a little more. My dad fucking hustled me into doing a job with him when I was down in LA. Yeah, like he's like, hey, come help me with the fence. And I'm like, all right, cool. So like next thing you know, I figure we're just gonna take off the rail and stuff. And this motherfucker unlocks everything. So we're gonna have to weld this shit. We're gonna take the fence off. I'm like, oh, this motherfucker just hustled me into a 2-day project. So yeah, so I fell behind a lot of shit just cause like, you know, especially like our my Nino, he was the one coming over to help out and shit. But only thing is, this motherfucker's got diabetes. Only one of his hand is good. So it's like I was literally got stuck and be like, you know what, my dad can't do it on his own. I gotta fucking help him and shit. Plus I don't wanna get hit with the belt. There's still that trauma from an early young age. Even though I'll be 35, I'm like still like, no, daddy. All right, yo. How tall is he's shorter than us. He's like around. He's probably like around 5'10". So like we're all like, my brother's like 6'3". So like yeah. He used to play basketball. We both play basketball and cross country and shit. But yeah, that, he used to create games just to fuck me up. You know that? Like he used to call this one game called Inch Line. So you like draw a line. He's like, all right, you just got to cross this line. And he didn't care whether or not I made it. He just wanted a good legitimate reason to hit me. All right, and
sure, brother,
my brother. Oh yeah, my brother, my dad. Nah, my dad was just like, oh, these motherfuckers are gonna kill each other. You know, like they used to just like lock us in a room and shit. I'd be like, all right, these motherfuckers are gonna tie themselves out. but that's how he fucking like my brother motherfucking like knocked me down and shit. And I get like a bloody nose, and that's how I knew life was gonna be a struggle, y'all. All right, that's right then and there where like you fucking like down on the ground looking, you're like. And you're wondering where to call you, like your mom and dad for help. But that shit ain't gonna work, because you gotta see this motherfucker every single day for the rest of your adolescent years and stuff. And you're just like, oh, fuck, all right, this is a pecking order, all right? All we are is fucking dogs and birds out here, y'all. All right, so like, yeah, every time I see those National Geographic or like Planet Earth, I see those birds out there, and they're, yeah, it's funny how like so many animals and species, they're all trying to get like a fucking little like environment so that way they can get laid. Or like, and you ever like be cleaning out, like cleaning up your room and shit, and then it's all nice and clean, like, man, you know, there's definitely a girl that would like to have sex with me in this room at some point. And shit, I was like, that's what it pops in. I'm like, I'm that motherfucking bird from Planet Earth, y'all. All right, so just so you know, this is some weird ass shit. All right, but yeah, it's gonna be a fun time. You guys good? Oh yeah, actually, I know we good. You know, we were just fucking like smoking in the fucking car. Yeah, and that was such a beautiful moment because he had the sunset going on, and then Larry was fucking freestyling. What then was all be like? The word is. I was like, damn, that's be cool, like an ABC special right there. Yeah, that's for damn sure. We could make a little DVD and stuff. Do people even use DVDs anymore? Nah. Blu-ray. Yeah, Blu-ray. Yeah, fuck that DVD. I remember when Blu-ray first came out. Like I went to Circuit City. Remember Circuit City? And then like we're trying to buy it. I think we're gonna thinking about buying a VCR because the other one had broke. But then this guy was like, hey, this is a DVD player. I was like, what the fuck's a DVD? It's a digital video disc. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And sure enough, we went to CDs, and I'm like, God damn, you know, it's gonna happen to the point where they're gonna inject music into our penises. And Next thing you know, your fucking dick's gonna wave around to the fucking rhythm of the beat. All right. So anytime you hear some Gloria Estefan, you're gonna nut quickly. All right. That was a random thought. But if anything, though, hey, with the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival just this past week. Thank you. Hey, thank you so much, Pam, for doing another year. Yeah, we always here. Yeah, we love you so much for that, Pam. Because obviously it takes a lot of work. How'd you feel about it?
I think that all the visiting comedians were amazing, and that all the shows were exceedingly well produced, and they're all online. People can listen to any of the 25 shows that happened in 5 days on our website, mutinyradio.fm. It's Comedy Festival 2018, so go listen to those shows. That's free. It's free to listen to those shows. All of her stuff on the website is free. You have no idea how to make money here.
Yeah, gratis.
No idea.
Yeah.
You have no concept.
Well, if anything,
but other than that, everything's great.
Well, if anything, content. We're creating content, a bunch of content, y'all.
Yeah.
So anytime you want content, you should definitely come over to Mutiny Radio.
Yeah, come on over.
Yeah, we'll get you.
Come on over here.
Yeah, we're live right now.
Come on in.
And you know, like obviously, we're learning a lot about ourselves tonight.
Yeah. Right? Sure. What we're basically learning is that charging people $2 is, they're just not gonna have it. They just won't do it because they want everything for free because they live in a fantasy world. So yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, and the only
people, it's fine. It just means that Larry Dorsey Jr. gets to do 20 minutes.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome because this is recorded and you guys already, this podcast has only been happening for like 2 months and it already gets like 8,000 downloads a month. So.
Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh shit!
Because it's already on iTunes.
Oh,
so
yeah,
these
that's
two
right.
guys who
so
are
much.
Smart are here. Thank you, listening audience. Thank you, huge audience that is out there that's going to listen to like huge time from these awesome guys. Lucky them. Lucky you.
Yeah, if anything,
we all win.
It's like that saying goes, if you build it, comedians will bomb on stage.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just
well,
like,
if you build it, there you can't use comedians as labor is basically the way that goes, is that you build it and you front the money and then you use the labor and then they just show up for free because they're piles of dog shit and have no money and no way to make their own life. It's okay. They're all special. I used to teach special ed junior hires when you guys were like, you guys weren't even in junior high. You guys were like, the two comedians that are here, you guys were in like preschool when I was teaching junior high special education. So it's fine. Like, I get it. I've dealt with emotionally disturbed boys since like I was in my 20s, since I was an emotionally disturbed girl. It's fine. But like, I have the schooling to be able to teach people. It's just some people don't want to learn. And that's cool. That's fine. And I hope they get a Netflix special. And whoever they are, that people that just don't care about other, the Satanists out in the world, they're like, oh, I'm so, I love Satanism. I'm going to embrace Satan now.
If anything,
master.
If anything, I think it's like a bunch of egos in the community. So it's because of that, like people would be like, what are you talking about? $2? I'm not to pay. If anything, like it's, I appreciate the comedians that come out just because of the fact
that
you really are pushing yourself in many forms when it comes to like just opportunities of what it might be, you know. And again, this shit happens within you. Like, you're a lot of comedians are expecting a big ass crowd for themselves after 2 years of work and shit. When you know, like they just that's just the mindset of what goes on in people's minds because of that Netflix comedy.
When's your 10-year anniversary? It's coming up, isn't it?
In November.
November this year, 10 years for Anthony
years.
Medina doing comedy.
Yeah, and I'm still asking myself the same question: what am I doing with my life? But if anything, though, like, I fucking love comedy. Like,
and
I really
what's the deal with airplane food?
Like, yeah, I got it gets me gassy, but there's no gas in it. All right. But if anything, though, like, it's trippy, like, seeing how the comedy scene has shifted over the years. Because, like, even with the closing of Brainwash, but you saw a lot of what went on. And, damn, well, you know what? We just need a lot more people of color running shows, y'all.
Because
that's a big thing.
Or women, because
women,
we've been subjugated since the beginning of time, and black people, it was only like after they figured out that, you know, they couldn't just subjugate women. They're like, oh no, now dudes too.
Yeah, like cool. If anything, tomorrow we're re-releasing the WeWork shows.
Oh, rad!
Yeah, so last time when these things happened, it got all the way to like Portland, Seattle.
Creo.
So yeah, creativity over there. Yeah, I love that guy. But this time, remember I kind of brought it to you some weeks back, but you were going to be into the comedy festival. But I was looking for producers, specifically women, and just to kind of be like help run the shows because it got so. to Portland, Seattle last time.
So, great.
Who we have on, working on this show now is Shea Bell and Shati Sharan.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, so we're going to, you know, especially like mix it up, y'all. If you're doing shows out there, get it diverse as possible, unless you're going theme. If you're going theme, then fucking wear your underwear the way you want to. but otherwise, if you're doing like just a regular show, mix it up, because especially like, yeah, it sucks how San Francisco is now and stuff like that. But even then, we're living at such a fast pace of society right now that everyone needs to be constantly stimulant, hence all the fucking drug overdoses. Is that people want to get up because they need, we're at a point where we can intake so much information. Like, remember one day you look, the phone was separate from the TV, and the TV, you know, all these different arenas were different. So now when people see it, it's like we need to have it all. So what I feel we should do one day, Pam, is we start doing hologram shows. All right.
Sure. Well, Second Life, there was years ago when I was at Amnesia on a Tuesday, and there was a girl who got up there and said, "Hey, people at Amnesia." This is before it was just comedy on Tuesdays, back when it was the red light open mic and it was multiple people. A lady got up there with a guitar and she's like, "Hey, everybody, I'm going to do a show for like the 20 people in here, but really, there's 400 people that are paying right now on Second Life. And what I'm yelling out to is my Second Life crowd, what?" And she was like live streaming it to Second Life, where people had paid tickets from all over the world to hear her play music at the Amnesia open mic when it was, and it was just like, I couldn't even, this was like in 2008, and it was like, pow, pow, pow. My brain was exploded. Like, she's like, "I just made $1,000 on Second Life because everybody, 400 people are there listening to me. And this room of 27 people, I don't care if you ignore me the whole time. Go outside and smoke cigarettes because I've got a crowd."
But if anything, it was just like a matter of pushing that content out. That's like, you got to push that content out like it's a fucking good shit that needs to be released, you know?
How,
like,
did this turn into a podcast?
Yeah.
Well, we've got more microphones.
Yeah, go ahead. Grab the mic.
Larry Doris Jr. Grab the mic.
Let's do that. Yeah. Oh, shit. We have the power. Si se puede, y'all.
Yeah,
that's our damn shirt and stuff.
Let's talk about it.
Like, come on through. If anything, though, we're going to give some love right here to Guatemo and Larry Dorsey Jr., y'all. Yay. Thank you, sir. Yay.
Well,
we got a mic. We got a mic and stuff.
The Equipto Super Cypher.
Hello?
There you go. You're on.
Hello?
Yeah, you got it. You're on. You're live.
Booyah. We live.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is a very beautiful learning experience right here. And the particular reason behind this, you gonna get on stage with me?
I got two mics.
The reason behind this has to do specifically with that I have to make people laugh that are gonna listen to this later without being able to see me.
Well, it's theater of the mind.
Yeah, I love it. It's a challenge.
Sweet.
I have to make you motherfuckers laugh. You don't know how I look like. You don't know anything about me, but I'm going to make your fucking ass laugh.
I'm going to go live.
We're going to go live.
I'm going to go live with us.
Oh, my God. Are you going to Facebook Live? You guys are progressive.
Can you put some instrumentals, too?
Yeah.
I'm going to freestyle, too. I'm going to try.
I
feel like we're in a play rehearsal for school and shit. Okay,
Lights, camera, action.
Hey, you know what I realized? Comedians are the worst. We were talking about this outside. Comedians are the worst fucking friends, right? They're not going to laugh at your fucking jokes. They're not going to pay to get on stage. They're going to leave the show early. Comedians are full of shit.
Yeah.
Big piles of dog shit. It's awesome. Yeah. Love it.
As we're saying there goes one. Oh, shit.
What's up, fam?
Oh, there goes another one. Oh, shit. Oh,
what's happening?
Shit just changed.
Got real.
Shit just changed.
Welcome back, guys. You can do whatever you want, bro.
Yeah, they got some beers. So
like, oh, shit.
They have to make them not look obvious.
Okay.
Yeah, come on in.
Oh, shit, where can we get cups?
There's Backbeats.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can. You guys, you seriously want to rap? We can get. I put in Backbeats, but that's kind of.
No.
I'll put like.
Yeah, we're about to. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Oh, shit.
We're gonna.
Okay. Okay, here we go. This is some hip hop background for you.
Hip hop.
Oh, you want to see what happens? Freestyle.
I thought that's what you wanted to do.
Oh, we had okay for people watching. We had a white woman pick some hip hop background for us. That shit is funny as shit.
Go back. That mafioso. I was thinking Domino's.
We're doing fucking comedy with hip hop behind us, bitch.
Killer Mike.
Oh, this is some fucking Jadakiss and Styles P shit right here. Where y'all from, by the way?
Santa Rosa.
All three of y'all?
From Santa Rosa.
Oh, shit. Oh, dope, dope. Damn. What have we done in Santa Rosa? Do y'all know who Equipto is? For sure.
Sally Tomatoes.
Sally Tomatoes is up there. Oh, dope. I know Tony be doing that shit.
Sally Tomatoes.
Well, fuck it. We're going to go back and forth and tell you, since y'all from Santa Rosa, we're going to tell you, we both born and raised in the city, loyal to the soil. We're going to tell you some shit. Go off live.
Okay. Oh, okay. It's one of those. Okay. I won't save this one.
Don't save it.
I won't. Discard.
Yeah. So we really, I feel it's funny. So a lot of people, when we tell people stories, they don't believe us. A lot of times I had motherfuckers literally look at me and go, "You're lying. I don't believe you," because of the shit that we've done in our life growing up here in San Francisco and the shit that we've seen. So I'm going to tell you the first time me and him stole a car together. And we were 15 years old.
Yeah.
And it was funny because a couple nights before, we were at this big turn up. This is back when hyphy was it. We're in our 20s, right? So this is back when hyphy was really big. We're in high school, and there was a local rapper who came by and just went crazy, right? And it was a big club, and we were energized.
It was fire.
Yeah, it was crazy. We were so energized, like, and we already been in a lot of stolen cars before, but we just never stole one ourselves, right? And we're like,
I was always in the back,
and we'd always be watching, like taking notes and shit. Like, okay, this is how you okay enter. And then so we were like, fuck it, we're gonna do it ourselves. We went to Home Depot, got some $5. $10 titanium scissors.
The legit metal ones.
And no more hip hop background. It's cool. This is gonna be hip hop enough right here.
It's dead hyphy.
This is gonna be real hip hop right here.
It said hyphy. I thought I'd put hyphy behind you. A little bit of hyphy behind you.
Is,
like
is.
Real quiet.
So we left that party and we went walking around looking for a car. We broke into a car. We got in. It was me and him. And when you steal a car, it gets really hot. And it's kind of like you're fucking in the car, right? It just gets steamy as shit. So me and him, and he was like 320 pounds back then. So this nigga's breathing hard. Breathing hella hard. And I'm over here sweating like a motherfucker. And we're trying to break the ignition. We finally break the ignition. But for some reason, we couldn't get the car started. And it took us so long. He ended up cutting his hand on the scissors and started bleeding all over the car. It was the worst criminal shit ever. And so we
had to go back to the party. Yeah, like beer and all. Oh, like maybe this might get rid of all the evidence.
People are like, what happened? This thing? And all our friends like, who hit you? It was like a fucking intense situation. What happened? And so we fucking
I was still dancing with the girls with bleeding hand. Like, yeah.
So we had to fucking switch up tactics the next time we did it. And this time we were another friend. And we used to go to San Francisco State University for the parties when we were 15, 14 years old. And we would be like, yeah, we're 17 years old. We wear collar shirts and we'd go there and we'd be like, yeah, we're 17. And the girls would believe us and shit. It was fucking hilarious. And so we left the parties that day and we're like, let's steal a car. There's a party at Ocean Beach. Let's go. And a lot of high school kids love going to Ocean Beach and shit. And so we're like, let's go to Ocean Beach. And so we're like, okay, we got to steal a car. We find two cars that we could get into. There's like specific traits to them that you need to know so you could break into the handle. And so we got into one. We tried to start it. It wouldn't start. It just kept going. And we're like, oh shit, that's making noise. And then we ran up to the across the street. They were literally across the street. It was like right here and right there. We just kept going back and forth, and each car would go ying ying ying. We're like, "Fuck, try that one more time." Ying ying ying. We're like, "Ah!" And then I remember, like, to get a car started, you gotta pump the brake. Or he remembered that.
The wheel too.
And so we were doing everything. We were turning on all the air conditioning, nigga. We was like, "How the fuck?" And we finally
ashtray,
And so it finally started, and we were like, "Oh!" And we started like kind of celebrate, like we motherfucking stole a car. What the fuck? We're calling people, bitch. Like we're just hella excited as fuck. And so we get in the, we all had to like rock, paper, scissors to see who drove. Cause we're all like, I'm not driving. I'm not driving. You drive. And cause we had a, so what we did was, when other people would drive, if we ever had like got encountered by the police, and I remember it happened like one time, and so you'd go find a hill, and the driver would have to let everybody off at the hill, and then he would have to try to change seats while the car was going down the hill. That's so the driver had the hardest job, and then he had to jump out and like roll or whatever. And the car would, we fucked so many other people's cars up. people woke up in the morning like, what the fuck happened to my car? I remember him, oh my gosh, because he's a better driver now. This nigga, when he drives though, he drives like a getaway driver. He's always just so intense. I'm like, dude, we're going to Walgreens, motherfucker. What are you doing? Shit, nigga. I'm like, what the fuck? And so this motherfucker was trying to keep up with one of my cousins. It was so funny. Remember that time? I know you remember, nigga. You tried to hit the corner. He tried to hit a corner. Corner and turn, and the car went and he boom hit a car hella hard.
It was a solo though,
and we were laughing so hard. And we had to call him, like, you all right? And he was laughing, hell yeah, it's like bumper cars. And he just kept driving, fuck their shit up.
Hey, that shit was hard though. That shit was hard.
So here's
self-taught, what self-taught motherfuckers.
Yeah, we self-taught.
No father, self-taught.
yeah, he didn't have a father.
Fuck y'all.
So what happened was, we made it to Ocean Beach, and we're telling everybody, yeah, we just stole a car. Like, this is no longer college, because this is our friend. So we knew everybody there, and we're trying to be cool and shit. Yeah, motherfucker, we just stole a car, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, nigga, we got it. And one of our friends was like, all right, give me a ride home. I don't believe you. You ain't got a stolen car. We're like, come with us. And we took him to the car. He's like, oh, shit. And he's like a 6'5 Persian dude, right? So he's hella tall. He's like one of those guys who always has hella money, sells weed to the black people. Like, one of those guys. And he's cool as fuck. And so he was in the car. This is a fucking Honda. He's in the back. He's like hella tall. Then we have a dreadhead black dude, and then it's me and him, right? And so we're driving, and we're going through the hood that me and him grew up in. And I know there's a corner where there's like every night it's a fucking Wu-Tang video, motherfucking hella motherfuckers out there just fucking in hoodies, like. And I told him, let's not drive around that corner. Let's go around the back end where we won't see anybody. And he goes, and he was driving though, so he was nervous, so he was just trying to get home, and that was the fastest way through that area. And two, he was just like, fuck it, bruh, ain't nobody out there. And I was like, bro, there's gonna be 100 motherfuckers. We're in a stolen car. We look hella suspicious. They're not gonna know who we are. Let's not drive by this fucking ghetto ass corner. This motherfucker, hey, nah, man, it's going good. You don't know. He's like, I live right here. You don't know. And I'm all like,
true. I was like, I'm scared. I'm gonna go home.
And he was scared as shit. I was like, fuck. And so we turned that corner, and lo and behold, there was like 100 motherfuckers, hoodies. All you see is black ass faces with grills and shit. I'm like, oh fuck. And he gets nervous and speeds off like, and then, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I got nervous. And the fucking, all the niggas are like, looking like, what's going on? And so as we're going, you know, the hills of San Francisco, we're going up this big ass hill. As we're going up the hill, all of a sudden we hear,
and this car was a champion, because yeah, we're all heavyweights and shit. Yeah. That
for real, that car was holding us down. And and so as we're going up the hill, we hear, and we're all like looking at each other like, what the fuck? Like, is this a Texas chain? We're hacking jokes. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, this. And I was like, and then we're really trying to be like, what is this?
I thought it was a lawnmower.
Yeah, we're like, is that a lawnmower? And we're like, ain't no lawnmowers here. We don't even have fucking yards here. What the fuck is this? And so we get to the top of the hill, and we start going down towards his house. And we're going down towards his house, and a car was backing out of the driveway, and he's so nervous, he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he just like, oh, fuck, I'm going around this car. And as he tries to go around, a dirt bike slides by us. And he almost hits the dirt bike, and the guy's like this, and he stops at the corner, right? And so we're rolling up to his house, and he's like not even putting the car in park, nothing. This motherfucker's halfway out the car. He's like, I'm about to get out. Someone else gonna drive. And then we're all like, He's got a gun. The dude who almost got hit pulled out. He was with the crew at the bottom of the hill. He pulled out a big ass gun, like fucking machine gun, whatever the fuck it was. And he's like, what? He's got a gun. And he looks and he presses the gas and closes the door at the same time. We're like just speeding down the street, hitting hella cars. He's going hella fast. He starts chasing us. He's hit W-O-O. And but the thing is, we know our neighborhood hella good too. Like, you know, and we're like hitting hella turns. We end up at another hill where we're going down the hill, and we thought we lost him. We're like, we lost him. And as we're halfway down the hill, we look back and realize that he turned his whole, what's up, bro? He turned his fucking engine off. So he was right behind us. We didn't know he was behind us because it was dark, but he was just quietly going, like, on his bike, just hella, like, gaining on us, too. And we were like, he's behind us. He hits the gas again. And then at the bottom of the hill, a cop car drives by. And we're like, oh. And I'm like, follow the cops, right? And he was all like, fuck that, dude. We're in a stolen car, man.
Everybody's synchronized. Fuck that.
Yeah, everybody said, fuck that. I was like, oh, yeah, shit. And so we turned the opposite way of the cops. Luckily, when the dirt bike saw the cops, he had slowed up too, right? He slowed up more than us. He fucking pretty much just stopped, like, hold on, bro. Like, you know what I mean? The cop might make a U-turn or whatever. And as we're going, we noticed the cops were gone. We all just jumped out the car while it was still going, pretty much. And the car just, like, going down the street, boom, hitting everything. And the fucked up part about it was the 6'5 Persian, his door had child lock. So all of us were out the car, like, getting ready to run to, like, the secret bridge and shit. And he's looking at the back window like, no! And we're like, we gotta fucking save him. And so one of the, like, the fastest nigga, the dreadhead black dude, ran over there, fucking unlocked it for him. And it was hella dramatic.
Like, the alien hands, like, just get in the window.
It was quick. That nigga pulled and did some Black Panther shit. That motherfucker was on that motherfucker. And that's the first time we successfully stole a car. Thank you.
Up here, say, hey, give it up for Larry and Guatemo. Thank you so much, y'all. All right, like, if anything, obviously, because, like, you know, I grew up in an inner city too, but I never had the balls to do that shit. but I always wondered, like, what was the mindset going into that day? Be like, you know what, we're gonna steal a car.
So I always like to tell people that we've always been chasing, me in particular, I've always been chasing a legend. Like, the life I live, I want to live a life where it could be told, where people are like, that's that nigga's life. So I always wanted, we always were push-ups. Doing wild shit. Like, we would see movies, everything, and we'd be like, we're going to do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just, like, the people we grew up with, they were wild. Like, they weren't afraid. It was like they had nothing to lose. So we had everything to gain. And so
yellow.
We were like, and we had a fridge full of ants. So we're like, we had incentive. We're like, every time we rob somebody, we get their credit card. We go to the food court. They never check ID. Nigga, we eat big.
There you go. That's heart determination, y'all. All right? You got to fucking think outside the box and shit, man. And Guatemala, like, you guys have been growing up for a while. When was the first time, like, you met Larry, and, like, when did you know, oh, this motherfucker is gonna be doing some crazy shit, and I want part of it as well?
Our family knew each other, so we just hanged out, and our little brother, well, he's not my blood brother, but he is, like, he's like my brother, but I call him my cousin. His name is E. E is just a fucking fuckhead kid, man. I try to climb up a tree, he's like, get on my shoulder. And I get on his shoulder and climb up the tree, and he just flipped me over. And I flipped, like, boom, landed on my back. Fuck! And Larry came in. You fucked up, man. This is my brother. And then after that, man, we just started hanging out. I was just a fucking dummy, man. I was just going for the ride. Sorry, I'm not trying to tell you another story, but I'm
high as shit. Well, and also, these guys have been doing some great shows. They sold out Punchline some months back, and they're why don't you tell them about your weekly that's going on over at Black and Brown Social Club?
Black and Brown Club.
It's cool. That's why I asked y'all about Equipto. Thank you for him, because
he used to have a show here, actually. He used to be 2 to 4 on Saturdays, and they called it Smoke Signals, and it was amazing. And Smoke it was Signals. So wonderful. And you can still see it on our website. You can go to mutinyradio.fm and you can go look up, because they all still exist in our index, and you can listen to all the Smoke Signals, and they're amazing. And
dope.
Yeah.
Okay. Dope. So you're partnering with Equipto.
Yeah.
And then this is weekly, every
Friday at 7 p.m.
Yeah, and then y'all have, like, a little bit of everything too, right?
Yeah, we have music, poetry. We got art. We got food vendors. We got merchandise, clothing. It's real San Francisco. Everybody's from San Francisco. It's super like the last of the fucking non-gentrified. It's a statement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean,
if anything, the Santa Rosa guys, if you guys want some street cred, hang out with these guys.
We haven't done crime yet. It's been 10 years. This is all 10, like, well, no, statute of limitations.
7 years. Statute of limitations, 7 years. I have stories about running drugs across the border in Mexico, but that was 13 years ago now. I haven't run 400 Valium in my panties, two pairs of underwear, pants, no pockets, be white, and ask about when they ask you what you were doing on the other side of the border, you say, pricing tiles for my bathroom. white bitch running Valium across the border. What? Super easy. Yeah.
So Valium, huh? Valium?
Yeah, it was $1 a pill back in the day. So it was $1 a pill in Mexico.
I
had a buddy who Danny Trabajo aquí. And then he would even pop them out of the pill things for me and put them in a baggie. And I'd say, Puerto Rio al baño. I'd buy a Diet Coke and then I'd say, Puerto Rio al baño. And then I'd go in the bathroom and all the pills would be there for me on the sink. And I'd leave my money there. And it was $1 a pill. So it was like $400, 400 Valium. Because everyone, I don't do cocaine and I don't like it, but everyone else loves it. And, you know, Mama's Little Helper, a little Valium really goes a long way when you're trying to come down from your cocaine issues, you know? So I ran Mama's Little Helpers. But again, it's been 13 years since I've done that. So statute of limitation, I'm cool. I can tell stories about it. It's fine.
Yeah. After like our last crime, I've never done any. I've sold weed and that's it.
And that's not illegal anymore because it's a piece of grass and isn't it lovely?
What was the last crime for the books there?
We did it together. He ended up doing the time and getting all the charges.
Damn. Because
he's the only one who got caught.
Oh,
he was come on. He's running with a group of niggas. We gone. This fat Mexican nigga. That motherfucker got caught. You know what I mean?
Learn how to climb a tree.
We were gone.
I thought Mexicans were good at climbing trees because you get the coconuts. You got to like shimmy up the tree.
I never heard that
one. Not get the coconuts.
Climbing trees. If anything, making a tree into something. yeah, let's take this tree down, make a wall. Fuck it, all right. But if anything, though, hey, y'all, give it up for Larry and Guatemala, y'all. Give it up. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much, y'all. And then make sure to support that shit, because that's true San Francisco shit right there, y'all. Yeah, so just letting you know, if you want some street cred, hang out with these guys, y'all. But if anything, though, so I'm going to go. Well, obviously, some shit shifted, so we're going to just kind of keep the night rolling. But I'm going to go with y'all, Chris, because I know your name. and then I'll get you all set up right now, y'all. But if anything, though, one of the guys coming over from Santa Rosa, worked with him a couple times over there in that area. Very funny. Please give it up for Chris Ferdinandson.
Thank you very much. Mutiny Radio, I'm excited to be back. I like this new stage setup. I like the whole setup itself. Look at me right now, putting $5 into this jar.
Thank you.
Look at this shit. Like a real fucking supporter. Like, I support local art, all right? I see your bumper stickers around town, like, telling me to support local art. Like, bitch, you didn't put $5 in the fucking Mutiny Radio water jug when you went there. No one else does that shit, dude. No one fucking else. I wish I had some cool crime stories, but my crime stories are so white that it's not even that much of a crime. It's North Bay crime. I get arrested. I got arrested for a DUI recently.
It sucked.
But it was honestly, people who know me, when I tell them I got a DUI, they're like, it's about time. It's about time that it happened. You know, like people were like, yeah, I was pushing that line for a long time before I got caught. And when I did get caught, it was honestly best case scenario. I blew a .10. I wasn't high on anything else. It was pretty easy. It was pretty one and done. You know, I hope it's one and done. I hope I don't get another one. We'll see. The worst part about it wasn't the jail time or the fines or anything like that. They took my fucking license away. And that's the worst part, because I can't buy cigarettes anymore because I look like I'm 16, dude. Because it used to be you could buy cigarettes when you're 18. But no, ever since I turned 21, they changed the law to 21, which is perfect because I had my ID and it was no problem. But now I don't have my ID. Nobody wants to sell me shit. And when I don't get carded, I think it's super irresponsible, too. I think I could be 16. Like, I look like a stressed out 12-year-old. I pretty much look like a 12-year-old who's gone through, like, multiple divorces. I look like a 12-year-old whose parents, like, loved each other and then stopped and then loved each other again and then stopped again. That's what the bags are from, baby. That's what the bags under the eyes are from. I've been cutting down on the drinking recently. I've been feeling better about that. I still drink once in a while. Like a good morning beer is nice. Yeah. Like a good breakfast beer. No one's mad at that shit. No, good eggs, coffee, beer. Fuck, get that shit set up at the table. I like an afternoon beer. I'm not really a morning beer guy. But if I was to drink a beer in the morning, it would be something light like a Corona. Like a Corona and lime. Be a nice good morning drink with your tacos for breakfast. Because I like to live the island lifestyle in Santa Rosa. Fuck yeah, dude. I'm gonna go back to Hawaii. When I was on Hawaii, there were so many hot girls in Hawaii. Just everywhere, all the time. My favorite hot girl was the hot girl on vacation with her dad. Because the dad just had this constant frown, or as I call it, the everyone wants to fuck my daughter face. And it must be hard to just walking around with this fucking dime piece that's like yours and like you have to protect, and every guy you see is just like, I want to fuck the shit out of what you got, dude. Like that must suck, dude. But the best part about Hawaii though for me was snorkeling. I really like snorkeling. I got to see under the seas, like real life Funny Nemo. It's fucking awesome. Got to swim next to some turtles, and I noticed no matter how ugly the fish, they didn't want to hang out with you because you're a human. No matter how ugly the fish, they want to hang out with you. So next time my friend's like, hey man, there's more fish in the sea, I'm gonna be like, yeah, but none of them want to fucking kick it because I'm a human and they're fucking fish, dude. It doesn't work out that way. It doesn't work out. When I look at my wallet, I think it's like when a teenage girl looks at the scale, because I'm like, well, someone's not having lunch today. I drive a truck, a big old work truck, not because I have a small dick, but because I love free couches. I love them so much, man. I once had an outside couch light on fire because I had it near a fire pit. Put those two things together, and I was looking outside my window one time. I saw a big-ass flame in the backyard, and I'm like, oh, shit. Nate, get some water. Nate starts filling up a Brita. I'm not even fucking kidding you. Nate starts filling up. He starts putting the faucet onto the Brita, like, okay, filter the water, and then hopefully by the time it's all filtered, we can pour a liter of water onto this couch fire we got going on outside. Fucking, we saw some. I once backed out. We were talking about how hard it must be to be backing out of the street on here, like first thing in the morning, like to go to work and just have people out there all the time. Up in Santa Rosa, I backed into and possibly over, allegedly over, a homeless lady while she was crossing the street. I was backing out, and then I hit her, and I got out of my car, and she was like on the ground. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. How are you doing? And she's like, oh, you asshole. You fucking hit me with your car. You ass. I'm like, I'm so sorry. What do you want to do? She's like, I want to call the cops. I'm like, okay, we'll call the cops. The cop showed up. He's like, yeah, she says that your tire ran her over, but if that happened, she wouldn't be okay. So I think she's just trying to talk shit. Just, it's all good. Go on your way. We'll deal with this shit. Go on your way. It's all good. And then a week later, I'm walking through Santa Rosa again, going to the movies, and I see the same homeless lady on the street. And it's just me and her on this empty street. And I said, hey, do you remember me? I hit you with my car. And she was like, yeah. And she was like, you know what? I do remember you. And just so you know, my lawyer is going to be in touch with you. I'm pressing charges. And I was like, why would you do that? Like, you're not hurt. You're fine. Like, I'm in a bad place. Of course I'm going to use this to my advantage. And I'm like, that's a shitty thing to do. But guess what? Homeless ladies don't get lawyers. That shit didn't happen. I didn't get any call like that. I didn't get any sort of call like that. She didn't follow through on her actions. Fuck, dude. I don't know how a homeless lady could get a lawyer. I decided not to get a lawyer for my DUI because it wasn't close. It wasn't that close. I mean, it was a pussy-ass DUI, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't close enough for a wet and reckless, possibly. Either way, I'm happy about it. It was a good wake-up call. Good wake-up call, the DUI. I don't drive drunk anymore. I used to go to work. I used to get drunk before I went to work. I fucked that joke up so bad. I used to walk to work because I didn't like to drive drunk. That's the joke. That there it is. And this is like a workshop slash open. We're all doing the thing here. Yeah, that's good. I got a ticket for possession of marijuana in Sebastopol. I got a $400 ticket for possession of marijuana. It was really cool though. I was 18 years old. I just got out of high school. I was hanging out with these musician guys in Sebastopol, and they were like, "Hey man, come check out the studio. We're recording an album, and the guys in the studio aren't there. You want to come smoke weed, fucking listen to music?" I'm like, "This is a lot for people I just met, but okay, sure. Well, I'll go check it out." I went in there. They started playing music and shit. It was the first time I heard Drake's Versace. It was the first time I heard Migos' Versace with the Drake remix in it. I was smoking weed. I was like, man, this is so fucking... I got so fucking high in that studio, just sitting there smoking weed, just 18 years old. And then I got them like, hey, let's go to my friend Tanner's place. So we drive through Sebastopol at the busiest time, like right after high school gets out. And I'm driving in my big 1990 beat-up work truck. It has dents all over it. The paint's chipped off. It has the company's name on the side. It's a, we got three people in a bench seat up here, three like young dudes just driving around. We got fucking pulled over right away. There was a bunch of things wrong with the truck to get me pulled over. As soon as the cop comes over, I put down the window and he's like, you want to tell me why it smells like marijuana in this car? And I was like, oh, it's because I got a bunch of marijuana in my pocket. I took it out and I handed it to him. I'm like, so that's it, right? He's like, hold on. He's like, we got a possible 1049, possible 1049. In my brain, I'm like, that means a DUI. Fuck, dude, my life might be over. I didn't do any eye drops or anything. I was fucking glazed ass red eyes, just looking straight at this cop right in the eye. And he let me get out of the car and he had me go lean up on the other car. I'm like, this is it, man. It's about to happen. I kept putting my hands in my pockets. He's like, don't do that. Don't put your hands in your pockets. And then 5 seconds later, I'd be putting my hands in. I'm like, it's cold. It's cold. I'm sorry. He's like, okay. Then he checked my pockets. He says, good. Fucking classic white ass Sebastopol shit. And then, cause then I got away with it. And he looked at me in the eyes of like, as like, while I was driving away or while I was getting the car of like, hey man, you got off easy this time. And you know that. And I took that lesson. You know what I did? I waited 4 years to get my first DUI. I waited 4 years of pushing the line. And then I did it. And I when I was telling my friend about my DUI, I realized I said the widest thing ever. Said even when I was getting pulled over, I wasn't nervous. I was getting pulled over when I was drunk at 2:15 in the morning, and I was like, I got this. There's no problem. I'll just talk my way out of this one. It'll be all good. And I, up until the handcuffs were on me, I still thought like, dude, I'm getting out of this shit. It's gonna be easy. But you can't always do that. You can't always do that. It's the widest shit ever, dude. But I'm not mad, dude. I don't like being called white, though. I prefer advantaged American. I do. How many kids with AADD does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
I love In-N-Out, man. I love In-N-Out more than I love girls, man. I love In-N-Out more than I love girls because the In-N-Out animal style tastes good. I did a show one time and there's these two lesbians in the front row. They're like, if it doesn't taste good, you're not eating the right girls. I'm like, I don't care how good your pussy tastes. If it tastes like animal style fries, there is a problem. There is an issue. I'm not saying I wouldn't love it. I'm not saying I want to stay down there for longer, keep some ketchup by the bed. Fuck yeah. Just mix that shit in there. Hey, you guys, this has been fun. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Keep it going for Chris Bird and Anthony. Oh, damn right. Thank you so much, Chris. I love like you have like in the back of your mind, it's like, ah, I'm going to get away with this. All right. That's such like, that's a superpower right there, man.
Do you have a DUI? And you're too responsible to ever have a DUI.
I have definitely driven home drunk sometimes.
But you don't have an, I was officially charged with the DUI. I definitely made that mistake.
How old were you then?
That I was 32.
32? Oh, wow. 32,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, that was 11 years ago.
So like, and you were 18 when you were doing it?
I was 22 when I got my first DUI.
Oh, 10 years apart. Look at that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I drove drunk when they made me go to DUI school. They're like, let's calculate how many times you drove drunk. And I came out to about 3,500.
Oh, wow.
Before my DUI, I drove drunk at least 3,500 times.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It was amazing. Yeah. I drank Sparks back in the day when you could buy that at a bar over ice. And so after I drank four Sparks at 7.5% alcohol, I was drunk as fuck, but I was awake as a motherfucker. Let's drive, bitch. We're going to go to Tecolote Canyon. Let's go.
Yeah.
El Cajon. I'm on it.
Spark, the original Red Bull and vodka.
Yeah. But with malt liquor, it's dangerous. Malt liquor.
Wasn't it green?
No. It's orange.
Orange.
It's fluorescent orange. It's gorgeous.
Anytime something like that, even as a kid, like when I would drink like an orange like soda, cause that'd be the most extreme I should do. I'd be like, my pee came out so like it was like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it. But y'all survived DUIs and made it happen. So y'all give it up for them right there, you know? Living that fucking American dream right there, y'all. Living the fucking American dream. Another guy's living the fucking dream. This guy right here. I'm glad he's here hanging out with us. Very funny. Please give it up for Toothbrush.
I'll be your daddy.
Yo, what's up, my ninjas? It's all good. Yo, somebody listening out there, man, you gotta come check it out over here. Check out the bathroom. It's like 1970 disco light bulb going on. Look like a fucking fire department having like an LSD party or some shit. That's kind of crazy. But anyway, my name is Toothbrush. I'm married. I just got married. I got married because I got DUI like everybody else. Man, finally, I could get around. My wife hates it because I go everywhere she goes. She start talking about, oh, leave me a fuck alone. I need my privacy because I got to go. I was like, baby, where you going? I'm going to work today. What? You're going to work today? Let me roll with you. Y'all got a nice gym. I got to work in there. Free gym. She got a beautiful gym. How work? But anyway, DUI, man. Let's talk about that shit. It kind of surprised me that white people get pulled over. You just said it. And it's kind of like a white privilege that you thought that you could get away with that shit. That white privilege right there. When I got a fucking DUI, man. I was like, I would never fucking forget that night. I had a gig. I got paid. My joke was on point. Everybody wanted to take a picture with me. Buy me a bunch of drinks. I was the happiest man on the planet. Driving home on the fucking freeway. Cop pulled me over. And I, you know, I thought I was gonna get away with that shit. And the motherfucker goes like, oh, you back there, you're swerving. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I wasn't swerving. I was actually sneezing. That's why.